The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you,
Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So those of you that were able to catch last week's sermon recording, you'll know that we are beginning another series once again. The lectionary takes us through the letter of James from now until the end of September, and what I decided to do was to get started a week early. And so last week, we introduced the letter of James, we talked about what the setting was so that we knew what we were getting into. So just by way of review, we just remember that James was leading the church in Jerusalem, and it didn't take too terribly long before a great persecution broke out against the church, and people had to leave Jerusalem to flee for their safety, some of them even fleeing for their lives. And so James, being the pastor of the church, is wanting to stay in touch with all these people who are now leaving for all sorts of places. Some went to other countries even. And so he wrote a letter. And in writing that letter, he begins by encouraging them with those rather puzzling words: "Consider it nothing but joy when you face trials of many kinds." Of course, this persecution is what he has in mind right away, and that's, of course, what they're experiencing. And we talked about how that might be a puzzling thing to hear. But he goes on and makes it clear that wisdom is what is needed. And he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God, because God's going to give you that wisdom. And what he's doing there is carrying on the tradition that began with Judaism, with the literature of wisdom in the Hebrew Bible, through to the wisdom that was communicated in Jesus' teaching and embodied by Jesus himself. Now, here in James's letter, he continues to promote this pursuit of wisdom. And I would suggest to you that just like Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs are the wisdom literature of the Hebrew Bible, the letter of James is wisdom literature in the New Testament. And so what James writes now is a letter made up of a number of different passages, a couple of paragraphs here and there on different topics. It is one thing he's dealing with, then he's addressing this thing, and then another thing over here. And I suspect these are all things that he would have been talking about in the weeks and months ahead had people not had to leave. It's almost like we get a collection of what his upcoming sermons were. But the important thing for us to remember is that James is not writing these things in order to help the people deal with the persecution. The content of the letter of James is not how to manage in these times of trial. We could ignore the very first paragraph of the letter altogether and just simply say, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, and now we're going to start talking about what that wisdom looks like. And this is why the letter of James has a timeless application for us. Yes, there are still some uniquely first century things contained in the letter, but the principles of wisdom that are found within it apply to us no matter where we are. And so yesterday, when I was preparing my thoughts for this sermon, as I was going over what we wanted to do, I thought this would be a good opportunity to do something rather different. Rather than just taking all these excerpts from week to week, we're going to do something that I don't think we've ever done in church, at least not while I've been here, and perhaps you've never done it either. And that is, I'm going to read the letter of James in its entirety. We're going to hear the entire thing, because that's how it would have been taken. Now, I've asked everybody to make sure you have a liturgy booklet and that little booklet that says the letter of James. And as I read, you're able to be following along with me. I know that when I'm preaching a sermon, you're listening for 15 minutes or more, because that's how long it's going to take us to read. But it will be easier to follow along, because, of course, these are not my words. This is not my style of speaking. So it's a bit harder to listen to just 15 minutes constantly of reading in that way. But that's what we're going to do this morning. And I promise you, I'm not going to do this 15-minute reading and then preach an entire sermon after it. This is all part of the sermon. And so we're going to let James speak for himself and then ask a couple of questions at the end. So I invite you to turn in that booklet to the beginning, and you'll notice that there are no chapter references, there's no verse numbers, there are no subheadings, because, of course, none of those things existed when James first wrote it. And so I hope this becomes a resource that you'll find useful as we go. As in every ancient letter, it begins with the identification of the author, and then to whom it is written, and then we get into the letter itself. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes and the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. But ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low. Because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. It is the same way with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are transgressors and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point of it has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith." You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus, the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness," and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scripture says, God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives all the more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Whoever speaks evil against another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. So who then are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there and do business and make money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you. And it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure for the last days. Listen, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord. You have lived on earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my beloved, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being just like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Well, I hope that presented the letter of James in perhaps a different way than you might have considered otherwise. And now, having heard it, you can get quite clearly these different topics that he discusses. Some of them don't just flow into the next. It can be kind of disjointed. It's a collection of little sermons. But you can also detect different aspects about what he said. So here's something for you to consider. And by the way, I invite you to take that booklet home with you. And throughout the time that we're reading James, go ahead and perhaps read it through once a week, right? Only takes 15 minutes. And if you're reading silently, you'll get through it even quicker than what I just did, right? But if you read it over and over and over again, you're able to internalize it more, understanding this to be wisdom literature, stuff that we need to retain. And you can start to detect patterns in it. So ask yourself these questions. What are the topics James spends the most time on? What are the topics that might concern you a little bit? He doesn't seem to like rich people very much, for example. You might also want to ask yourself the question, how do I see this in my own life or in the life of our own parish? And can you see that these things are being written by a pastor who loves the people of his congregation that are now scattered from him, and he's trying to do his best to lead them in the way of Christ? One other thing you might notice in this letter, it's all about following Jesus, following in the way of the Lord. But it doesn't say a whole lot about belief and doctrine and theology. It's all about what we do to show the faith that we have in Jesus. What does that mean to you? What does that do for your approach to your faith? I'll leave those things with you, and in the weeks to come, we'll explore different aspects of the letter and look at it in more detail. Amen.